good. She's organized.
Good morning. I'm happy to open the educational symposium on friendship through the lifespan. And I really thank the conference organizer for providing us the opportunity to share what we learned on this topic with you. In this symposium, we are adapting a developmental perspective, and we will be describing friendship, start from preschool up to adulthood. And with no further delay, I'd like to start with the first presentation, which is mine. And I will be talking about the beginning of friendship, and mainly I will be focusing on friendship in preschool with high-functioning autism. And let me start by providing a definition of friendship. And friendship conceptually is different from peer interaction, because friendship is social relationship. And what makes it differs from peer interaction is that in order to form relationship, and it is a nice continuation of the lovely lecture that we heard this morning about social relationship. So relationship involves a series of interaction in time. And children, through continuous dyadic interaction over a longer period of time with a specific peer, construct a relationship model that goes beyond the influence of each member of the characteristics. So children are really meshed with one another, and they are possess a certain history and emotional resources, shared history and shared emotional resources. So friendship is a reciprocal process. Table over time, study will define it as long as 6 months and up, and it enables children to create a scheme for relationship that reflects the quality of their continuous interactions. Three main functions have been defined for young friendship. The first one is companionship. Companionship is about playing together, doing things together, and the assumption is that children are become friends because when they are play with their friends, they are having more fun and they are reaching to a higher level of social complexity and social interaction. But the really important function that differentiates a friend from non-friend is closeness. And children, through developing friendship, really develops closeness, and closeness reflects the essence of friendship as an effective bonding. And you can see in children as young as 2 years old, verbal and nonverbal expressions of affect, and closeness means that children really like each other and feel important for one another. The last function that was defined is intimacy, and the essence of intimacy is really developing a trust. And again, here, studies have been shown that children as young as 2 years old, toddlers, can develop and can be used the friend as an emotional support, for example, from transition from one daycare to another. And the other aspect of intimacy is sharing emotion and sharing experience and disclosing emotions and feelings. And studies have been shown that children, through social pretend play, will disclose their feelings with their friend more than they will do it with another peer. So altogether, young friendship are pretty stable from 6 months and up to 2 and even more than that. And the assumption is that children can form internal representation of their peer friendship relations as intimate close bonding based on similar capacity to form internal representations of their main caregiver through the process of attachment, as long as they have the opportunity to have continuous interaction, stable interaction with a specific peer who is familiar to them. So the theoretical assumption is that the main function of friendship really stays stable along development as companionship, intimacy, and closeness. What really is changing through development is the behavioral markers that children are used in order to obtain these functions. So if in adolescence, as we will hear in the other presentation today, they will self-disclose their feeling, so in toddlerhood and in preschool, they will play it through social pretend play. Also, studies have been shown significant differences in the quality of interaction between friends and non-friends, and in general, higher level of mutual social engagement and responsiveness have been found for interaction with friends, and more specifically, more active involvement in joint tasks and greater effective interchanges, higher reciprocal verbal exchanges, higher likelihood of assisting one another, higher levels of social interactions, and more effective forms of conflict management. It's not that they don't fight, it's just that they put a lot of efforts for conflict resolution with their friends. And also, it was observed to be seen more complex form of social and social pretend play. Taking it all together, having friends is very, very important for the development of key and cardinal social competence and social cognitive capabilities. And also you need to have certain social cognitive and social competence capabilities in order to develop friendship. So it's pretty much a closed circle of need to have these skills to develop it, and also these skills are really growing up in this type of relationship. In autism, failure to develop peering relationship appropriate to developmental level is a diagnostic criterion. And if we will adapt an historical perspective, then following Kanner, autism was defined as a disorder of affective contact. And also, major friendship building blocks are really deficient in children on the spectrum, such as intersubjectivity, understanding communication intent, such as joint attention and theory of mind, social play, social pretend play, and pro-social behavior, which are all important for friendship. And if we will follow studies who screen the percentages of children who have friends on the spectrum, so it's really a huge amount of children do not have friends. And also the number of friends decreases as age increases. But only one study looked at preschoolers with high functioning autism and could not find a single identified friend. When I prepared this talk, I just found this anecdotal evidence in the internet. This is Ruby's mom. These are two children with autism. Ruby is the one with the glasses. And that's what the mom is telling. Can't tell you how these two girls fell in love with each other, or if it happened slowly or quickly. It seems that there was never a time when they weren't friends. Here are two children with autism who can spend hours playing together, who have normal conversation, who sneak off to have a hug. When my mom died last year, the person who gave Ruby the greatest solace was Eliza. Whenever Ruby is having a rough day, the first person she wants to talk to is Sissy. Eliza understands Ruby better than anyone else. So it's anecdotal, it's on the internet, nobody can approve if it's really true or not, but I think it provides a nice preface to what I would like to present to you today. From a recent result from a project that was just ended, the Friendship Preschool project that we run in my laboratory. And I will be mainly focusing on comparisons between interacting with friends and interacting with non-friends, and I will show you the differences in the quality of interaction. So altogether, we had 177 preschoolers that were participated in the study. 59 were recruited research participants, 29 children with autism and 30 with typical development, and the children with autism were high functioning. We recruited children that we could identify as friend for them based on an interview with the mother and with the teacher and based on the criterion of young friendship that was stated by Cowley House. And we also, for each of the child's friend, we matched a non-friend who was in the same age and in the same diagnostic status. We also interviewed the mother and the teacher, and we learned about the friendship characteristics. So what we found was, based on the interview with the mother and the teacher, is that friends were pretty much at the same age, and 18 pairs we identified 18 pairs that had another child with autism as their friend, and 11 pairs had a typical developing child as their friend. And those in the ASD spectrum that developed a friendship with a typical friend were the older. Friendship were pretty durable, a little bit more than a year for the autism group and a year and a half for the typically developing group, pretty stable according to the mother report. And children met both at home and at the preschool. And we asked the mother and the teacher many questions. I just present this one for you today. I think it's interesting to see what do they think about how did friendship start. So according to the mother, the most important issue is that children are staying in the same preschool. So according to their opinion, it increased the likelihood of having friendship for their children. Mother of children with autism also emphasized parent mediation as helping their children to form friendship. In a different way, mothers of children with typical development emphasize children's mutual preference, so it's a more spontaneous process according to the mother of the typical children. If we will see the teacher side in the graph, so the major difference is their opinion about staff mediation, in which only 3% of the teachers of the typically developing children think that they need to do something in order to help these children to develop friendship, whereas many of the teachers, it's around 55% of the teachers, think that their mediation is really important. However, differently from the mother of the children with autism, teachers of children with autism also thought that children's mutual preference is important, so they maybe give more credit to the children with autism to create maybe something more spontaneous than the mother are giving. Next, I'd like to share with you the results that we got out of looking at the interaction of the children, target children with a friend and versus an interaction with a non-friend. And we went to the children's schools and we let them go through three social situations. It was a construction game, break, and drawing. In the construction game, children construct a model together, and then after completion, they roll balls down. In the break, it was a free play session in which children got snack and age-appropriate toys and no instruction to do anything, and also children drew together. And I'd like to show you now four short segments of interaction, two from the construction game and two from the break. They are all including the same target child. The two children that you're going to see are two children on the spectrum. Target child is 4 years and 4 months. And I apologize, I had to cover their faces. But I'm not going to tell you when the child is interacting with a friend and when the child is interacting with a non-friend, but I'm sure you will be able to figure it out. Okay, this is the same child interacting with another child in the same activity, in the same social activity. So the child is the child with the old child.
Hello, look at your city. Thank you.
have to take my word that the whole interaction looks pretty much the same as what you see now, and I just want to move to the free play session. And again, tell the child this is time with the orange picture. They're having all doctors' toys and snacks. We will see the other interaction. It's interesting. So again, I'm moving to the other interaction with the other child. Same activity.
This is a
ball. This is a ball. Go slower than it is. This is an important part.
So,
and the medicine to the other, he is stating the other child's name as a nickname. Now he's trying to fill him. So I think it's pretty clear, I don't know, I think it's pretty self-explanatory that the two children with the blue shirts are the children who are friends, and the children with the orange, and the situation with the orange shirt are children. This is the child with autism interacting with a non-friend. And there is a lot to say about these segments, and you saw a lot of shared fun, and we were talking about synchronicity in Ruth Feldman's talk, and also even signs for closeness, because he was using a nickname to when he was checking the other child. So what we did with the interaction... We coded them according to two main scales. One was a minute-by-minute scale that we coded the behaviors of the children according to cooperative behavior sharing, prosocial behavior and conversation, and nonverbal interaction and affect. We also coded the play complexity that the children achieved through this interaction, and we had a general evaluation of the quality of the dyadic interaction. So, not surprisingly, when we looked at group differences, we found group differences in which the interaction in the typical group overcame the interaction in the group with autism in sharing, in social conversation, in positive affect, and in collaborative pretend play. And this is not a surprising finding. Also, the dyadic interaction quality of the typically developing children that participated in the study was higher than the children with autism, closeness, shared fun, and reciprocity. But I think that what is really most interesting is what we found here. And when I think this is the first examination or first results that somebody ever compared interaction with friends versus non-friends in the spectrum, and we found that children with autism, as children with typical development, when they interacted with a friend, they had more positive affect, higher level of social coordinated play, and higher level of collaborative pretend play. We also found differences only in the typical sample in favor of the interaction with a friend and cooperative sharing and pro-social behavior. This was not found for the autism sample. We also found differences in the dyadic quality in which shared fun and closeness and reciprocity were higher both in autism and in the typical sample in the interaction with friends versus non-friends. When we compared interaction between mix and non-mix, mix is a friendship between child with autism and a typical developing child, and non-mix is between two children with autism, then it was the interaction with the typical children was higher on cooperative behavior, collaborative pretend play, and on reciprocity. I want also to share with you some other results that we collected, and we went to the children's schools, and we looked at their spontaneous interaction with their friends during different activities in their schools. So then we collected a lot of examples of behaviors between the children, and then we content analyzed them, and we could identify the same function in both samples, but not always it was the same quality. So I'm having here some of the examples, for example, for sharing. For the group of children with autism, this is an example. Hey, you know, it is so fun to destroy. For the typically developing children, I got a shot yesterday, so I'm not allowed to fight. It was so scary, a huge needle. Even my mom couldn't look because it was so scary. So for the children with autism, they mainly shared fun experiences. Typically developing children shared deeper emotional states, including fears. For social pretend play, for example, now it's lunchtime and we're eating lunch. I made schnitzels with bread crumbs like mums. And the typical children, look, the car is a knighties and their horse, and the horse is a knight, and they're good friends, knight friends. You're a car knight, so you are my friend. So we found more complex inclusion of mental states in social pretend play for the children with typical development versus the children with autism. We found signs of closeness for both samples. So, for example, for the autism, I'm your friend, so I will play only with you every day and not with other friends, okay? So this is signs of exclusiveness, maybe too exclusive. And then hug and hugging, this is another example. For the typical sample, I love you since you are my friend, we are best friend. So we found in both group encouragement, caring, comforting, and exclusiveness. But gossip was found only for the typical sample, and using nicknames was also found only for the autism sample. In terms of shared fun, as you could very nicely see in the examples, we saw a lot of singing and dancing and doing physical games in both groups. It's just that in typical group, they accompanied more vocalization to their silly games. And we could identify markers of reciprocity in each sample for the children with autism. Yuval, can you climb up after me? 1 minute, I'll come down and push you up. And another example, here, I brought you a shovel, now I can help you dig. For the typical children, I've been practicing the whole week. Let's take turns. I'll teach you how, and then we'll do it together, okay? And another example, if you want to color in red first and then in yellow, then that's what we'll do. So we actually could identify function in each sample, but the quality was different in several of the functions. So just before finalizing my talk, I'd like to share with you results from another study that we took on this project. And we led the children to solve a problem together. You can see the procedure now. These are two typically developing children who are friends. They need to equalize the scale. They have different blocks in different colors and ways. And they were doing it twice. It's just fast to judge. So mainly what we found here, again, in terms of group differences, that children with autism solved the problem slower, they showed more irrelevant behaviors, and shared fewer comments, and also fewer coordinated actions through gestures. However, since they had to solve the problem twice, we were surprising to see that they could spontaneously learn and transfer their learning from the first experience to the second because they were more efficient in their second experience. But I think that most interesting finding is, and related to this talk, is the finding that we consistently found also in this social task between friends and non-friends interaction in autism as well as in typical development. And children, when they solved the problem with a friend, they showed more responsiveness, they had more fun to do it together, and also they were more reciprocal through this process. 6 minutes. Okay. Taking it all together, I think that it is important to know that friendship in young children with high-functioning autism is feasible and meaningful, and friends show more complex play capabilities and intersubjectivity than non-friends. And also, in a more cognitive-oriented task, interaction with friends can be an advantageous setting for even maybe cognitive growth. And also, mixed interactions show higher social complexity than non-mixed interaction. And just concluding with saying that I think that it is really important that friendship will be a specific aim in early intervention, which unfortunately it is not. And I think that it explains at least some of the very, very low percentages of this relationship among the children on the spectrum. Because as you could see, following the mother and the teacher, they need a lot of help in order to form friendship and also to maintain the relationship over a longer period of time. But it's not that they are unable to develop. Certain children definitely are able to develop it. And we will hear more about it in the next presentations, but the risk of not having friends is experiencing higher degrees of loneliness. And based on a recent study, the risk of having friendship with low quality is heightened anxiety. So I'd just like to conclude with thanking all the people that took part in this project, and thank you all for listening. Okay. I have time for question if somebody wants to ask me a question. I don't see anything.
See everybody. Is there anybody?
Okay.
Oh, here's somebody.
Do you have extra time?
There's somebody over
okay,
here.
Yeah. Okay, so she's asking me what do I mean about by saying quality of friendship. So I think that quality of friendship is if you can see closeness between. We are talking about observation. It's not just what the kids are saying or the mother or the teachers. We looked at the interaction and we could see sign of closeness and sign of sharing and sign of emotional proximity, emotional closeness. So I think this is what I mean by saying that the friendship are really, when I'm saying quality, that's what I mean. It's not just playing together and having fun together, which we saw here, but we also saw in the example using nicknames, which is a sign of closeness, according to young typically developing friendship. So it's not just basing on perception. This study really looked at the behaviors in a semi-structured social situation and also in the open space in the children's schools. Yeah.
Intervention to foster friendship, are there requisites or some skills, verbal or non-verbal, other skills or other skills that you need?
Yeah, in terms of typical development, as I mentioned, it's really important that children will be able to have some level of play and some level of intersubjectivity and understanding communication intent. It's just that there is something in friendship, and sometimes when they are friends with another typical child, he can, as we just saw here out of these results, he can help them to develop a more complex social behaviors. So I think that these are the basic skills that are needed to develop friendship. But also these skills are developing within friendship, so it's kind of a closed circle. So thank you for listening.